What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everybody, Tim McMaster here, along with Richard Justice, who has been nice enough to fill in here on the D-backs podcast. Richard, thanks a lot for stepping in for Steve Gilbert.
I don't know if I can fill those shoes, but happy to do it. I'm high on the Diamondback.
Yes, I know you are, so let's get right to it here. And one little concern that's kind of crept up a little bit here in recent weeks is Zach Greinke. He hasn't been named the opening day starter, somewhat because of his own concerns from what you hear from Torrey Lovello, but the velocity's been down the last couple of starts. Should we be concerned about Zach Greinke, or do you think he'll get this figured out before opening day?
I think he'll get it figured out, and I think what he would tell you is, well, what he did tell me was, you know, I've had the same paranoia every spring training at this point, that you think, okay, velocity's down. Is it going to come back? This is the point in spring training where you panic and say, okay, I got to ramp it up. And I think that's what he's going through. Now, what he has said also is, you know, you don't know that it's going to come back. It has every other time. It reminds me of one of the great Diamondbacks of all time, Randy Johnson, once told me, he goes, you know, if you guys keep riding every year that I'm done, one of these years you're going to be right. So I think that's where we're at. I think he's obviously the opening day starter. As long as he doesn't have any pain, guys are going to lose a couple of miles an hour off their fastball, but he has such a great pitching aptitude, and he's had a couple of innings where he finished off games where he looked like Zach Greinke. So I think it's just, you know, Zach Greinke's perfectionism is what he has given voice to more than anything else.
Yeah, and I think what doesn't help the situation as far as maybe just fan panic is that when you listen to Zach Greinke talk about this on camera, he's never energetic in an interview or upbeat. And so when the content he's speaking of is kind of negative to go with his demeanor in an interview, I think it causes a little bit of panic on the fan side. But that's just who he is and who he's always been as far as speaking to the media.
That's exactly right. He's brutally honest. And you know how some guys give you the sound bite. Zach doesn't give you the sound bite. And the day I talked to him, he was great. He was really effusive, and he was questioning himself. And you want to go, slow down. Did you say that this happens every year? Yeah, it happens every year. And it bounces back every year. And he goes, yeah, but you never know. No, I mean, he's good. And I tell you, the ball's coming out of his hand good. What I saw was 84 to 86. He just needs to get it in the 88, 89 area, and he'll be fine. So we'll see how it plays out. I would chalk it up to the annual Zach Greinke paranoia about his performance. And that's a good thing. That's why he's great.
All right, I will stop being concerned about Zach Greinke. All right, Jorge De La Rosa back at it with the D-backs, trying to be a reliever again. He was successful in 2017. Obviously, this is a guy who was a longtime starter. He's been one of those pitchers that's been able to kind of reinvent himself a little bit in Arizona. And you think he's got a pretty good shot to be on this roster again?
You know, I think he's in the mix. And that's a cautious way of saying it. Because when you look at what they have, you know, they have their three guys at the end of games, Bradley Boxberger and Hiriano, and then Chapin and Delgado, McFarland. So it's a lot of competition. I think it looks good to see him in a Diamondbacks uniform again. There's such great memories of what he did last year. He was pretty darn good in that, you know, we think of him as a Colorado Rocky, but I think he's in the mix, and that's all you can ask for. And the thing I think we would agree about is that if he doesn't make the team and he chooses to take the trip to AAA, he'll be heard from at some point this year. You know, teams use 40 and 50 players now.
Chris Medlin is a guy I know you like and you're high on, Richard. And obviously he's gone through a lot in his career. Once the great starter, had so many injuries. He's there with the D-backs fighting for one of those spots. Tossed two scoreless frames in a game this week. How is he looking?
Well, you know, I can't even answer that in a legitimate way because I love the guy so much and know where he was in his career. And, you know, to come back from two Tommy Johns and his buddy, Peter Moylan, they sort of pushed each other. They blew out the second time pretty close together. Peter's back with the Braves. And obviously they reference Johnny Venters, who's had, I believe it's Anthony Castrovince wrote, 3.5 Tommy John surgeries, and he's trying to make a go of it. I want him to succeed. I want him to be back. What I've seen of him, he says, A, my stuff is better than ever, and B, from having, you know, pitched, what, 12 games in 3 or 4 years, that there is some rust there. There's a comfort factor with getting on the mound. There were times last year where you thought the Braves looked like he was pitching well enough at AAA that the Braves could have called him up. So he's back in a good spot. Yeah, I want him back. I want him to be in the big leagues, and I want him to write the proper ending to his career. But we'll see if it, you know, like with De La Rosa coming out of camp. I don't know if he's going to make it out of camp, but I hope if he stays healthy and he continues to progress, he pitches in the big leagues at some point this year. You know, because one of the things about the Diamondbacks, we look at their rotation, said that's as good a rotation as there is in the National League. Well, it's not a rotation with a lot of depth, and so Chris Medlin could figure in there as either rotation depth or right now he's focused completely on the bullpen.
You mentioned Venters with the Rays, the 3.5 Tommy Johns. Nathan Eovaldi also there with the Rays. He's coming back from 2. A lot of these guys around the league, I almost feel like they should start wearing a patch on their uniform if they've come back from Tommy John. Like, it's a little club at this point. There's so many guys,
right.
And you hate to see it. But
yeah, they do wear patches. They have the patches. They'll show you the scars on their elbow, depending on how many times they've been through. One of the, and this is off the beaten path, but one of the great stories of baseball is that Tommy John surgeries are way down. Teams are doing a better job of managing rest and managing injuries and all. And that was the great threshold. It's one of the victories of analytics that I think teams like the Dodgers have sort of figured it out.
Yeah, and it's fascinating because just a few years ago, we were talking about how they had steadily gone up year after year after
right.
year, and now they've kind of figured it out. It's great. You mentioned how good this rotation can be for Arizona. Zach Godley, a part of that. He went 5-2 scoreless, no walks, 8 strikeouts. And I always look at that walk column during spring training. Seems like the control is there. It's always good. It was against minor leaguers, but still impressive at this point in the spring. This is a guy who, you say how good the staff is, this is their 5th starter, and Zach Godley could be really good.
Yeah, and he was huge for them last year. I mean, huge. I don't know that they get to the postseason without the contributions he comes up in making 25 starts. I mean, he was really, really good, and he's one of the bedrocks now going in. It'll be interesting to see with teams like the Brewers and the Diamondbacks and Rockies that had some success last year. How do you deal with that success when teams take you seriously? I watched, you know, Arizona's number 2 starter is Robbie Ray, and I watched him pitch the other day. And he's just, you know, there's a confidence level that wasn't there before. He now understands what he has to do to get people out. And it's now how do teams adjust to you and how do you readjust? And we have that with Taijuan Walker and Robbie Ray and certainly with Zach Godley. As scouting reports get around on you, it's a constant cat and mouse game. But the place they begin at is the place you want to be. They have great arms, great stuff, and a great aptitude. And they have a great front office in terms of providing information for them.
And they could add some more depth to that rotation later in the summer. Shelby Miller, another guy coming back from Tommy
yeah.
John surgery. Today the D-backs are actually off, but Shelby Miller isn't, as he'll throw his first bullpen session coming off that Tommy John surgery. The thing about Shelby Miller that I always think of is after all the struggles when he first went to Arizona, last spring he was pitching as well as he had right when the elbow went. And at least that's some encouragement that hopefully he can get back to being that guy and maybe give this team a lift late in the season.
Yeah, he's 27 years old. You know, when I talked to him last week, he was more concerned with his golf game. I think he shot 110 or something on some course, and the players would look at him going like, 110?
That's what I shoot.
yeah, 100. And that's pretty good. That's amazing for these guys. Such great athlete. He's feeling good. He says he feels like he's on the right track. I think hopefully the one of the things Shelby has learned is there's a difference between pain and injury. You have to manage the pain or it leads to an injury. I think he's gotten smarter about that. You know, and Tim, he's 27 years old. I mean, there is no reason in the world that Shelby Miller can't come back and pitch at a high level again, you know, because you look at those performances, those years in St. Louis and the 1 year in Atlanta. He was among the elite pitchers in baseball and a bulldog of a guy. One of my favorite story about him is when he's from Brownwood, Texas, and when the Astros had a first-round pick the year the year he came out of high school in 2009. All the owner of the Astros at the time, Drayton McLean, wanted was a big, tall Texan who threw hard, the next Roger Clemens, the next Nolan Ryan. And I think the Cardinals drafted Shelby like one pick before. And as Drayton McLean said later, I got over it after I stopped crying. That's what people thought of Shelby Miller when he was coming out of Brownwood High School.
And obviously the D-backs thought enough of him that they did trade Dansby Swanson in that big deal with the Braves, the number one pick. And Dansby's working through things as well down in Atlanta, but hopefully Shelby Miller gets back on the field healthy this season. All right, this has been MLB.com Extras, our D-backs edition. For Richard Justice, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time.